Keegan on the inside. Van Vinst, the other soccer player, and Keegan wobbling a little bit there at the start, trying to put a lot of pressure on. He's wobbling all over the track. Van Vinst is just about a half a wheel up at the moment, and Keegan still wobbling, coming to the first bend, and Van Vinst comes across, and Keegan's gone! Keegan touched the back wheel, and he's gone across the track on his back. Covered in dust, that is a terrible crash. Right across the track on his back, Keegan off, and that's an awful crash.
No harm done, it was just a complete accident. And
how do you think it happened?
Well, it's a race really for this corner. I think whoever gets in that corner's got a good chance of winning. I had the inside lane and Gilbert was half a bike up on me when he come across, and unfortunately if it had been a full bike up he'd have missed me. But I was trying to keep the inside lane, which I thought would be the best, and caught his back wheel. Just an accident, you know. I couldn't really go anywhere else other than brake and move out of the way, and I wasn't prepared to brake. So.
But you've had the treatment, you think you're okay?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm okay, yeah. It's a bit sore, but a couple of days, you know, nothing worse than you get. Well, it may look bad, but I don't think there's much wrong.
This will have to be the end of your being in Superstars for this corner.
Well,
it?
I might do the...
Steeplechase?
I might do the steeplechase.
Really?
Well, if it means difference between coming third and fourth, maybe.
Hello, this is What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob London. So as we celebrate 252 years since the English chemist and former Warrington resident, Joseph Priestley, discovered oxygen, where are my periodic table O2 podcasters? See what I did there? Firstly, he needs bigger lungs to deliver his caveats than a deep sea diver. Here to fill this episode with more than statistical atmospheric nonsense. Oh, I need some breath as well. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello.
And also, forget oxygen, as the only gas this old lad produces is methane. Yes, the natural byproduct of all the bullshit generated by his tackle bags. It's Dennis Waywell.
All right.
How are we, gents? Are we all good?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yes. D-mob happy.
Yes.
D-mob happy.
We're just saying the green room, we've had about a 20-minute chat about Joseph Priestley, so we won't do that.
Are we not?
Oh, no. Do you want to?
Okay. No, I don't. Have you been up to, Rob? Have you been watching the matches?
Not too much. I'm going away. I'm going bushwalking this weekend. We've got a place up in the Blue Mountains, so I've been trying to get my fitness up.
You've always done a lot of bushwalking, haven't you?
And I had to go for a medical, but the guy said you should really do the full Monty. So I went for a physical medical as well, where they had me like squatting down, standing on one leg, how long I could close my eyes, and they got this like medical core strength detector now. So they put these
Why are you making a shoving action with your hand?
Well, exactly. So they put these probes on you, and he said to me, he said the limit, no one's 100%, but essentially like a female Bulgarian gymnast has a core strength of 99%.
Ooh.
And I was like, okay. And he said, at the other end of the spectrum, if you put the probes in mashed potato, it's 4%.
All right.
I came at 3.2.
Oh, Jesus. Is that Samalina or something?
What have you been up to, Mr. Sankey? Anything exciting?
No, nothing exciting other than, drum roll, we have two properties to view in France when I leave for France on Friday morning.
Orford and Longford.
Orford.
No. Oh, that's right. You're going away, aren't you? Oh, well, watch this. I'm looking forward to this. You're going to be able to find the real estate guy this time, because last time he went AWOL, didn't he?
Two ladies both replied to us. Mm. One's called Selena. Can't remember what the other girl's called. I've done it all.
Great stuff.
Done it all through Mrs. Sankey. Mrs. Sankey sorted it, so that's why it's happened this time.
So all the Warrington fans next year be able to sort of camp out in Sam's luxury gîte. Yeah. Is that right?
Anyone who wants to go to Catalans, they can. If they're driving down, they can stop off halfway.
Excellent. Can they collect a fiver as well while they're at it? So. You're giving away all sorts next year, aren't you?
I'll provide a glass of wine to anyone who camps in the field, yes.
That's all the patrons sorted for next year. That's
Do
good
we want to have a flutter on will Sam buy his friend's chateau before Warrington win the championship? Which one are we going for?
Oh, it's going to be nip and tuck, that.
We probably won't get good odds for that. It's not worth it. The only thing that's happened to me this week, I got caught speeding. Completely distracted. It hardly moves. It's only like a 1 litre affair. Mm-hmm. And then, just to take the piss, I've noticed that a lot of horse riders, mostly women, there are men out there, but they've been riding the horses, reading the phone while they're going. Oh, I thought that'd be illegal. Is it?
Yeah.
It's not fair, is it? How many points do you think we should give? Yes.
How many points did you get? You got two points, only, did you?
Three
you can points. Do the course. Don't go on the course. You'd be irritable on the course.
I've used all those tickets.
Oh, have you? Right, well, should we move on? We can move on to the whole KR game. This will be positive. So you ready to click, Sam? You ready to click?
I'm
ready to click. Excellent. Right, the team was Webster, Ashton, King, Smith, Hopewarty, Irwin and Hayes in the halves, Byrne, Walker, Thomas in the front row. Back three were Holroyd, Harrison and Curry. Interchange bench was Sipley, Bentley, Philbin and Tanganawa. Here's the highlights. I wrap it up this letter that I wrote you. Maybe it's the only way to go through. Looking now to come to the right. Here's Hayes out the back. Chance here for Webster. Slips out of the tackle and he's in. The teenager scores his first Super League try for the Warrington Wolves. Intuition talks, you gotta listen. Back inside the 20 come the Wolves, looking to add to their lead. Here's Harrison, a big gap! Harrison straight through! Too easy! The love you found, lying to voices out the back of my mind, I always do. And now King's away! He's got Ashton in support! Ashton has a juggle, cuts back in! He's going to score his 100th try! Matty Ashton is a Warrington Wolves try centurion! There we go, simply through the middle, and he's got support either side. Danny Walker races away, back-to-back tries for Warrington. The champions are in absolute disarray. Walker gets it away to Curry. Curry's short pass to Philbin. He's in! He's over! Joe Philbin crashes in! Running from the truth was getting reckless. Stands and plays to Litton. Loops a pass to May. Here comes Lewis. Bodies in motion. Great pickup. Great pass. Gildart's in. What a pass that was! Finds Irwin, miss out pass for King. King puts a kick for Ashton. Yeah, he's got it! He's got it! Try 101! Overtime. Here now is May. Puts it on the toe. Baxley's going to score. Oh, did he score? Final score. Warrington 34. Hull KR 12. There were tries for Webster, Harrison. Ashton got over for two. Walker, and also, would you believe it, Philbin. Conversions, Irwin 4 from 6. He also kicked a penalty. Referee was Liam Pisspoor Moore. Attendance, 10,025. Now, all of a sudden, we're throwing the ball out wide. We're scoring length of the field tries. Sam said we were going to click. Did we click, Sam? Did we click?
For 51 minutes, we clicked.
Oh.
That was our season. 51 minutes was when Philbin scored his try. to take us to 26-0.
So he unbuckled us, did he? Once we score, that was it.
Well, I think we thought if Joe Philbin's just scored a good try, then we can't lose this, and just relaxed, probably.
Yeah, fair enough. We won. I had a look at this. It's been 120 days between winning the post-contact meters average gain. The last time we did it was back in March against Castleford. So, it's taken that long. We actually won the post-contact meters average gain. What a surprise. All of a sudden, you're on the front foot when your pack's going forward. 3.23, they were 3.04. Walker had a bit of criticism from the fans. Apparently, he'd come back and allegedly said he had, three broken legs, etc. But all of a sudden, it seemed to kick him into gear. 192 metres, Sam. Mm. Doesn't sound like a man who's injured. Sounds like a man whose attitude changed.
Well, I think the whole team, as you say, were on the front foot. Mm. And we'll come on to it later when we talk about Lee.
Oh, we're not breaking the time frame continuum. Good, excellent.
No, but it was so noticeable how we started well, we started tight. I've been banging on for several weeks about errors and penalties.
Yeah.
And once again, in fact, it was the lowest combined penalties and errors since round three. Our third game, round four at York. Mm. And there's no surprise, if you don't turn the ball over and if you play clean rugby, the opposition make more errors than you and you tend to win. And that first half was a template for how we should be playing.
I don't really listen to any rugby league media.
Is there any?
Something popped up on Instagram or something, but it was Andy Farrell. I don't know what he was on. But he was reflecting back to his days in rugby league. And I think he was talking about union as well. But he was saying just how much rugby league is a game of attrition. It's all about getting through your sets of six because that really pays 50 minutes on in the game. If you can tire the opposition out there. And he said that's what they did at Wigan. What I always did at Wigan was retain the ball, get through your... So it kind of makes perfect sense, doesn't it, what you're saying? If you hold the ball... More and more gaps appear as the opposition tire, and that seems to what happen.
And so much so that in the latter stages of the first half, Sipley went through a huge hole, clean break, and passed inside for Walker to score.
Yeah.
And that sort of summed it up. Yeah. And it was great to see the players, the stadium, apart from the whole KR fans, of course, a bit of sunshine, everyone with a smile on the face. There was a real positive feel or
for how many
vibe.
Minutes? 51 minutes was it? What did you say?
51 minutes. And the rest of it was fine. They didn't turn into shit, but they went back to a bit of normal.
Now you said, Dennis, at the start of the year, you sort of picked that Hull KR were going to have this blip. Mm. As much as Warrington clicked, Hull KR seemed to snap.
Well, they were shit.
Gossip online about. Were they falling out in camp? Was the fighting in camp? Ooh. Something happened. Burgess was dropped for some reason. Was it Minicello?
It was, yes, a couple
there was
of
something
weeks
going
before.
On there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're clearly all over the joint. How much would you put this win down, Dennis, to a click or a snap?
Well, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think we turned up and we played well, but also, Hull KR fell apart. They were falling over each other, weren't they, at times? And talk about the opposite of click. Are we talking about clunk click again? Is that the good thing? Is that they
was
were
that
very
Rolf,
clunky.
Was that Rolf Harris?
I don't think it was.
No.
I think
it was it Jimmy Savile?
It was Jimmy Savile. Oh, I don't know if you, by the way, on the podcast, I don't know if that flags somehow on Spotify. But anyway, Jimmy Savile wasn't playing, but it did look like that there was a bunch of people running around not knowing what they're doing. And I'd not heard that story, Rob, so you brought that to me here last minute. Mm. And that's exactly what I was thinking, is that Hull KR looked like, they weren't together anymore. They were just sort of like, you know, a bit like we are most weeks, but you're just sort of throwing it around randomly.
Yeah, we caught them on a very good week, didn't we? I don't think they've put it right yet, actually. I think they won last week, but they still look a bit frayed at the edges.
Did Dave Woods say about Willie Peters having a real good shout at him? He said, but there's only so many times you can do that.
Oh, that old classic line, that old chestnut.
Yeah,
he said that about Tony Smith, didn't they? Yeah, I said about my children, if I'm honest. It's the same there.
My other observation is when we were talking about, you know, how do you think we'll do against Hull KR, I was quite confident in a way, because I think the fans are like an extra man these days, especially in the sunshine at the Halliwell Jones.
Or woman.
And I did think, I said fans.
Although in this day and age, it could be another 34 kinds of variety.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's coming up in the next sitcom. We've left that one for now. But I think it was certainly definitely giving us impetus. And I think, at home, we should be sort of like that every time. So, Sam, I was quite pleased that you were there. Were you doing a lot of shouting that day?
Yeah, I had an absolutely brilliant day, Dennis. And talking is shouting. Can I give a shout out to someone?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Go for it. Are they a patron?
Just give me $20 after this.
Young lady by the name of Maddie works in hospitality. Not met her, only conversed via email. And
dirty bastard. Yeah,
no,
go on. Sorry.
I tried to get tickets for my mum and stepdad, who were 96 and 85, because they've given up the tickets 3 years ago and it was sold out.
Ah,
only
really?
This young lady said, usually a couple of days beforehand, we'll know if there's any going to be return. I will ring you if we've got any. And she was good to her word. She rang, and my dear old mother and stepdad went and had the time of their lives. So I think.
Well done, Maddie.
Yeah.
Have you not got any connections at Altrincham Market? Could you not have gone down that path? No.
He was away.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's very positive, isn't it, then? Well, let's have a look at some of the statistics. Possession, 56% to Wire, 44% Hull KR. Completion rate wasn't the best in the end, Sam. I mean, take this with a pinch of salt, but
no. The
Rugby League website has got Warrington down as 68% completion rate. Runs from dummy half were really up. I mean, that's fallen off a cliff this year, but Walker ran from dummy half, I presume it was Walker, 20 times. I was kind of half asleep when I watched it, but I'm pretty sure that Hull KR got a 40-20 at one point.
Yes,
early on.
But on the Super League website, they didn't. So I've added one. So they can't even mark down one thing correct. So God knows if any of the things are correct. But yeah, again, they missed that. One thing that is worrying me, and I don't want to break the time frame continuing, but it's going to come up again, is kick from hand meters has just diminished. That has really disappeared. Yes. So if you've not got a pack and you're not getting the ball downfield, I mean, it's a double. It's times two, right? Kick from hand meters, we did 328. They did 627. That's nearly 299 meters more of free oxygen, as we've just mentioned at the start.
You
know what I mean? That's more than O2, isn't it? That's a heap. That is an absolute heap. Carries, Harrison topped that with 29. Curry, again, up there with 27. Average gain was Walker on 12.8. But Philbin's average gain, are we sitting down? 9.2. Do you think the weight's off his shoulders? Now we know he's going to London. Do you think the weight's off his shoulders? Mm. Do you think?
That's an interesting theory.
If you could write in on a post-it note, please, with Joe Philbin moving to London, what West End play would he be most suited to go and watch? If we could get that for the next episode.
I noticed Thomas has dropped off a cliff since I started backing him to score a try. He's down at 6.5. I hope he's all right.
For a second then, Sam, I thought Andy Burnham had come on the podcast. Dennis has put his glasses on.
I know. Don't like wearing them. I refuse to wear them.
Take your hand off the side. It makes you look older.
No, I'm taking it. I want a chain round my neck, like Larry Grayson.
Oh, God, that with a tie. Or hinge and bracket. Oh.
Yes. Yeah. God, I can't see these stats. A couple of outstanding bits of performance. I thought King's kick for Ashton was first class. He didn't have much time to think about it and quickly dropped it on his foot for a perfect try for Ashton. Thought that was good.
Isn't he also leaving? Is he leaving to London as well?
Yes, he's leaving.
So this is the London effect.
No.
You've just mentioned Philbin. You've just mentioned King. So
ship a few more to London. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Basically, say half the side's moving to London and we'll be fine.
I've got a talking point. What are we thinking about Webster? He scored a very good try. Brave, wasn't he? Do you think we're missing anything?
If he walks into a pub,
yeah,
they're definitely asking for ID, aren't they? Definitely asking. What was that pub we used to drink in, Dennis, where they like let people in? Was it the Hot Pole? Where did we used to drink? We used to let you in when you were like 14. Was that pub in Warrington?
Well,
on the corner near Central Station. It was the Old Ball. Was that another one, was it?
That was
the one further out. But, yeah, I mean, there was a couple, weren't there? You know, Phil, our mate, he had a bit of a, like, you know, bum fluff sort of tash. So we just sent him to the bar, you know. So what do you think, anyway, about Webster? Do you think we're missing anything at fullback?
Yeah, I mean, he's what? He's third choice fullback, probably. I mean, you've got Thulis and probably, you know, obviously Kai Taylor-Frey in front of him. I have a funny feeling that he might become more of the predominant fullback, I think, Sam. I'm not sure the way that Kai Taylor-Frey runs the ball back, and from what we've heard, the kid is always injured. I'm not sure he can continue that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and doesn't get injured again. I think Webster might be a bit more robust.
Are you getting the feeling that Webster might become more of a Thewlis type of player?
More
nuggety, more.
He's not got the speed of Kai Taylor-Ray. But anyway, talking of Webster, here's Sam Burgess giving player advice when you get cleaned up around the head.
We spoke about Lachlan, Sam, didn't we, pre-game? Just talk a little bit about this opportunity that he's making the most of.
Yeah, oh, it's awesome. You saw his cruise today. I think, what a great example. You know, I think it's an important point we need to make in the game. He got cleaned up round the head with 10 minutes to go. He wanted to play on. I think a lot of players in the league need to take a bit of note of that. Just get on with the game. Play it in the spirit it should be. And that's what Lockie does. So, you know, really proud of him.
Well, there you go. I'll be passing that on to my son. I'll be any bash round your head, Master London. Stay on the field. Don't seek medical advice. So I did go on the both the NRL and the British advice on head knocks, and it couldn't have been more far removed than what Sam Burgess said. Basically,
really,
yeah, absolutely. No coach should be promoting that at all. It actually says as one of the bullet points on both the websites. That, you know, that the safety of others is paramount, and with the ongoing issues with head knocks in rugby league and rugby union, that any form of head knock should be seen to straight away. If a player says, I want to carry on, they should, they shouldn't be noted. They should be brought to the side of the field and checked.
Checked by the doctor first.
Not by Dr. Sam Burgess.
So. Well, do you know what the protocols are for trying to work out? I mean, obviously you've got the gum shield going off, but maybe that didn't go off. But that's not a, you know, definite, is it? Anyway, so what are the questions they asked him? I heard, because I did look into it and then forgot I was going to do it in tackle gags. Probably do it in tackle gags still, but I think it's things like doing the alphabet backwards from Z. And I tried to do that, and I thought, I can't do that. I'm off straight away. Yeah.
You've got to assume that they know they're alphabeting in the first place and can speak.
Yeah. I mean, Danny Walker's probably has to look at a picture book or something, I don't know. But I'd like to know a bit more. What?
Didn't they used to say that in the old days of when you got the head knock test, didn't they used to say that Carl Webb had to be coached how to answer it?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of that going on, wasn't there? Yeah, isn't it like mother's birthday? Things like that they ask.
They probably get them to write stuff down, don't they, previous, and then they've got to remember it.
When Willie Mason knocked 7 tons of shit out of Fielden in the test at the SFA, they had to tell him again he had kids, didn't he? Or his mother had passed away, and they had to retell him that she died. It was that bad. Like
was that one? Jesus. I remember there was something quite famous like that, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then Jamie Peacock joins in, and all of a sudden Mason runs I've never seen him run backwards so quickly in all my life. He wasn't taking on Jamie Peacock, who could really throw a punch.
It's funny though, isn't it, that a lot of these rugby players go on to for like charity boxing matches just to, you know, add insult to injury.
Anyway, my advice to any young player who gets a knock around the head, or as Sam Burgess put it, cleaned up around your head, is go to the side of the field and get checked out. If you have any headaches, anything like that, go and see a doctor, because you've got your whole life in front of you, not just a few years playing rugby league. The worst fucking advice I've ever heard in my entire life. Just another one to pick up on before we move on. And that's, I've got a little bone to pick with John Wells, who had a dig at Brian Bevan.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. So Ashton goes in to score a try. They discussed about how many tries Bevan had scored, to which John Wells scoffed. Well, Bevan got to play 600 games, 600 games a year. He said some shite like that. I'd just like to point out that Ashton scores currently at 0.9 per game. Bevan scored at 1.2. So it has fuck all with how many games he played Wells.
He'd be no good at maths, though, Rob. Come on.
Talking of dickheads, we nearly went past without mentioning Mikey Lewis.
Oh, what a cunt.
Talk about having a bad day. Before that, he dropped the ball twice. He was all over the show, wasn't he?
Oh, God. If he's not playing rugby league, he's definitely in jail, right? He's definitely... there's an Asbo. He's in jail. Or he's pushing, he's collecting trolleys at Asda. I mean, come on. Oh, dear. He only got four, did he get four matches or what did he get in the end?
Yeah, he got three matches for the headbutt and one match for this sin binning, I think.
Didn't
it was.
Didn't Vaughan get a similar length ban for something like minuscule?
Trying to help a player up. Yeah.
At Lee, didn't he?
Yeah.
How is that only three games when you try and headbutt someone? It's clearly a headbutt. Isn't that like the top grade? The fuck is going on at the... Oh, Sam, I might have another cup of coffee. I've really gone off one.
No, you have. It's Noel Edmonds, isn't it? The referee, he winds it up as well. Yeah, he's not one of your favourites, is he?
Maybe a bit of bleeping on this podcast.
I was going to say, I've not swore up until this point, and then no, I just have you two going on. I'm doing, trying well. To hold it back.
Right, so our conclusion... You came away more... Actually, what's Team Sankey? What's who's attending the game with you? So your mum and your stepdad were there. What about the rest of the boys? Have they all fallen off now? What's happened?
Oh, no, no.
Talk about
my,
them as much.
My Simon. Chris and my Simon.
They're still there?
Yeah.
Still there. Right. Okay. Shout out to my brother's not that well. He's in hospital at the moment, so he's not that well. And he had to be taken in an ambulance. He had to be transferred from Warrington to Liverpool. And the paramedic was listening to the pod. Lovely bloke. Oh. So shout out to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know there his name. Is. Yeah. Thank you for looking after my brother. They put the blue lights on and everything.
Don't know. Yeah.
It's good. Right. Super League results round 19. Bradford 12, Wakefield 26, Huddersfield 10, Wigan 24, St Helens 32, Catalans 18. Hull 22, Lee 32, Toulouse 30, York 22, and Castleford 36. Is that right? Leeds 34?
Yes.
Castleford beat Leeds, did they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Well, I've missed that. Right. Mm. Has anyone been watching any Super League apart from the Warrington games? Have you? We never really discuss it. There's never a WhatsApp message or no, you don't. No, not really.
I did watch that
on Friday night.
Friday.
Sorry, guys.
How does that go down with Mrs. Sankey on a Friday night? Are you watching rugby league?
What's she doing?
She binge watches things on Netflix and Prime.
What's she gone off that BBC One, you know, where there's a murder in the Caribbean every 3 days? What's that one that used to
watch? Oh, yeah.
What's it called?
There's only so many episodes of that you can watch.
What's it called? Do you remember what it's called?
Death in Paradise.
This is his head test. What's it called?
Yeah, it's his HIA test for Sam. Yeah.
Death in Paradise, yes.
Okay, Death in Paradise. Could you name all the detectives in order who've been on Death in Paradise? Their character names.
Oh, not no, not the character.
Oh, okay.
Name,
well, give me the actors then. Give me the actors.
Who's the first brother?
Father Ted.
No, he wasn't the first one.
Wasn't he?
Oh, Hanlon or whatever wasn't the first one.
He's not the first one.
I've just realised I can't remember his name. He was Richard Jewell, the first one.
Who?
Let's move on.
Right, he's failed. Out for 3 weeks.
Fair. Yes.
Sorry, Dennis, you were about to say something.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I did. Yeah, really important. I did watch the Castleford-Leeds game. I haven't been watching a lot of the other rugby league, to be honest. But one thing I would say in general is that it seems to be everybody is struggling with injuries at the moment. And it's, when you think about it, we're only, what, 7-8 matches to the end of the season. It's not as if like players are coming back at the moment. They're still going out. So it could be all about the squads this year by the
They need to bring in a hydration break.
Oh, fuck off.
It's a Greenalls and Tetley would have loved that, wouldn't they? They could have had the Stones Bitter hydration break and they could have all had half a pint of mild on the sideline or something.
Oh, I'm coming round to the idea now. Yeah.
Labatt's hydration break.
Jesus. Piss that.
Newcastle Brown hydration break.
Are you still going?
Well, I'm just saying, I remember one afternoon we went on the Newcastle Brown in Warrington and we all got very agitated with each other. It was like loopy juice. We all started arguing.
I remember always when we used to go out and then we'd say, oh, we're not having any more beer. And I go, we'll have gin. And I remember in one place, I'm sure Rob said that I found him crying at the bottom of the stairs somewhere.
Wasn't it Mother's Ruin or something, isn't it? What,
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, it's just the females, is it? Men can be affected as well, for the listener.
Here we go then, it's the one you've all been waiting for. My countdown of Wire's top 30 players of the Super League era climaxes here. And those of you who've been following from the start will have probably worked out that my number one is Dundurn Lee Breers. It should come as no shock really. Breers combined elite individual talent and skill with longevity, loyalty and a transformational impact on Warrington Wolves' most successful period in its recent history. 17 years at the club brought over 400 appearances and 154 tries, as well as 948 goals kicked. He'll be remembered for much more than just those stats though, with 74 drop goals as well, including that famous winner at Headingley in 2006 as Wire won a playoff match for the first time. Yes, there'll never be a better drop goal exponent than Breers, and he won so many matches for Wire with his late one-pointers. We can't forget his liking for an interception try too, just one of the many other traits associated with his game. The reality of it is that Breers carried Wire for years, and even when there were other great talents in the team, it was always Breers who would be the man to turn to when the going got tough. He helped turn Wire from mid-table fodder into a competitive outfit and was a key part of the transition from Wilderspool to the Halliwell Jones Stadium. He came painfully close to the Super League glory that his ability deserved in 2011, 12 and 13 after over a decade of service to the club, consistently being their go-to man. Sadly, he didn't get it, but at Wembley he had great success, and his performance in the 2010 Challenge Cup final was absolutely heroic as he controlled the game from the first minute to the last and ensured that Wire retained their Wembley crown, earning himself the Lance Todd Trophy that he should have been awarded the previous year. Throughout his career, he was the creative fulcrum of the team, and it was always panic stations on the occasions he missed games through injury. His last game was the 2013 Grand Final defeat, which Wire lost to Wigan. A bit of a tragedy, really, that he never won Super League, and just a solitary one cap for Great Britain, despite Eddie Hemming's best efforts. Breers only ever made one appearance in Super League's Dream Team, another indicator of how his talent wasn't really properly recognised. Forever underrated by the Rugby League fraternity, but never by his own fans. The best player to play for Warrington Wolves in the Super League era. You must be out of your brilliant mind. You must.
Well, there you have it. It came as a bit of a shock to me. I thought he was going to go with Luther Burrell, but he has gone with Lee Breers. And there we go. Yeah. I mean, yeah, 30 years of Super League. There you have it. Lee, do you want to, I'll quickly run through his order. At 30, going through to 1. Henry Fairfield, Toa Coe-Love, Martin Gleeson, George Williams, Paul Sculthorpe, Brent Gross, Matty Ashton, Chris Riley, John Clark, Ben Harrison, Alan Langer, Chris Bridge. Just have a hydration break, just a second. Nathan Wood, Louis Anderson, Simon Grix, Chris Hicks, Ryan Atkins, Gareth Carvell, Ben Curry, Stephen Ratchford, Matt King, Mike Cooper, Daryl Clark, Ben Westwood, Chris Hill, Brett Hodgson, Joel Monaghan, Adrian Morley, Michael Monaghan, and Lee Breers. Right.
So Lee Breers, 74 drop goals. That was a big surprise that I didn't realise he kicked
that many. Did they?
74. That seems an awful lot.
I wonder if he holds the record in a year for drop goals. I have a funny feeling that Paul Bishop might well have beaten him. And Alex Murphy used to like put in a drop goal over. I wonder if Breers has kicked more drop goals in a season at Warrington than Bishop or Murphy.
We could ask Sam to have a look while he's on holiday.
Answers on a post-it note on the other side of the Joe Philbin bit about the...
Just talk about Lee Breers then. Obviously, St. Helens have got rid of Rowley this week. Speculation whether he'd be up for that. I mean, we know he wouldn't be because he said to us on the podcast years ago. Yeah. That
but Margaret Thatcher said on John Craven's news round she never wanted to be Prime Minister.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Well, what do you think about Lee Breers as a number two to replace McNamara at Warrington?
What I got from Lee when he came on the podcast was he loves jumping out of cupboards at people and frightening them.
Yes.
To the extent that he would try and get into the office as early as possible at Warrington. So he was first there to hide behind the photocopier. And there's dedication for you. That's the kind of guy I want.
You'd like that then.
Well, I think that's good. But I think thinking of like hiding behind things and jumping out on people and frightening them, clearly in the future, the best number two for that will be Leon Hayes. Because he'll be able to hide like in waste paper baskets and scare the living shit out of you if he jumped out on you.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's what Robinson did at Huddersfield. He just scared him to death. That's why they never played. In all seriousness, though, Rob, I think Breers would certainly bring something to party, but I also got that you'd want him as a number two to a headmaster stern person, wouldn't you? You don't want two people who were.
He's basically playing. He's the Eddie Large of Little and Large. He's the ball of Cannon. Is that right? He's the Wise of Morecambe.
Keep going.
Hinge and Bracket. Who was the straight man there? Sorry, straight lady. Who was the straight?
I can't remember. It was a bit before my time, that. Jesus. In fact, there's probably Saunders a few
to French. It's a French to Saunders or something like that.
What are we talking about now?
I don't know.
Are we?
I would like to say that as much as this has been a brilliant list that Daniel's done, I then had a little ponder in the week of my top 13, which I will record. But it doesn't include any player from the last 30 years of Super League, which I thought was a bit of a sad indictment on the game and where it's gone. I did start to record it, but it went on for about 4 hours, so I may need to put it out as a separate pod.
Yeah, maybe for the patrons only.
I thought, this is going to be, I'll do this and I'll put a little bit of effort into it. And so then I had to put a piece of classical music over the back, you know, even Elgar, one of the length of his pieces was shorter than my piece. So I need to really cut it down.
You've got the Holtz Planets. That goes on for about 9 hours.
Holtz Planets.
Have you got players in there like you, Harry Christmas, you know, when you told us from 1920 and stuff?
No, I've picked my best 13, and I tell you when I'll do it, and there's not a team out there that will beat my best 13 Warrington players.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, on to the Lee game. The team was pretty much the same as the game against Hull KR. Webster, Hapuati, Smith, King, Ashton, Irwin and Hayes, Byrne, Walker, Thomas, Holroyd, Harrison and Curry. Interchange bench was Sipley, Crowther, Philbin and Bentley. Here's the highlights.
So off the restart, fired up Joe Opangawi.
Hasn't he been in great form over the past five games? Just so powerful, puts his hands up really early. He wants to carry that ball off the back fence, and he does it with absolute power and passion.
Yep, I know Warrington have got the likes of Liam Byrne, Luke Thomas. They have got players on their bench. Joe Philbin, another one of those. But I know the guys at the What Brian Bevan podcast, they're always bemoaning the lack of firepower, and boy, they would love it, a Joe Opangawi, wouldn't they? I think he would almost be what they're looking for. Here comes Lapp. What a double pump, beautifully. Armstrong! Too strong! A short ball, and they end their end. Tour for Forest Sipley. Used his boot strength. My hostage love. Brogan onto Lamb. Cook. Here's a chance for Senior. And it's Senior. Brogan is ramped up. Opangawi. Is he in?
He's done it.
He thinks he's in. Marcus Goose takes a step back and awards the try. Leave a little message too. Eyes are shining diamond blue. Make Kevin come closer to you. Lamb. In and out of tackles. Armstrong. Can they work it now with Hadley? Beautiful forward. Irwin, oh, they've got a chance here. Hapuati!
Well, we got inundated with little messages about our shout out on the BBC. Oh. So thank you, Mr. Newsome, for putting us out there. I did think he missed both Matt and Dave missed a classic opportunity, though.
Yeah.
Armstrong scored and he reached over the line to get the ball down. Stretch Armstrong.
Oh,
stretch. Come on, boys. There was your chance.
I thought it was. Yeah, one small step for man, one
giant stretch,
giant for reach,
giant reach. Yeah. I mean, there's so many in there. Yeah,
there are, aren't there? It's good to hear Matt Newsome get our podcast name wrong as well. So, yeah, thanks, Matt. But it goes with the trend of everybody we've had on the podcast.
Yes,
he's completely fucked up the name of the podcast. So, well, good on him. Okay.
Final score was Lee 28, Warrington 12. There were tries for Sipley and Hapuati. Conversions, Owen kicked 2. Referee was Noel Edmonds, who gave a penalty count of 11-5. Attendance was 9-1-4-5. Disappointing attendance for a derby game. What was going on? Something on telly or what happened?
I don't know.
Get 10,000 against
Hawker. What was the attendance
again? 10,000? I've got 9-1-4-5 written down.
I remember seeing it looked quite full. Is that not the capacity then, around 10,000 there? Something.
12,000 there, I think it is.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay. Right. So, come on, who's going to start us off? Sam, did you go?
No.
Right. Okay. Where did you watch it?
Go. I watched it at home on delay. So I didn't start delay. Watching it.
BBC or I didn't start Sky? Watching it.
Had to be BBC because you can't record Sky when it's on the red button.
Oh, really? Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. So it was about 7 o'clock before I started watching it. And I'll start with a positive.
Oh, yep.
I don't think
is that it?
We can fault the effort and commitment to throw themselves into the match.
No, I agree.
Yeah, but for me...
Is that the end of the positive?
Week before,
I think it is. Yeah, I've just made a measure of that.
The week before, where we were composed, error-free, controlled in that first half,
yeah,
we almost did the exact opposite and let Lee get under our skin and reacted to it. And then errors, penalties, error, penalty, error.
Really was the litmus test,
for me,
Lee? I said this.
For me, it was the lack of composure, particularly when we went a man up. And as soon as we go a man up, it's knock on, penalty, yellow card. Within 3 minutes from having been gifted an advantage of being in the game, we blew it through a lack of composure for me.
Oh, a bit more there. I've just recorded that. That was a 6% positivity, 94% negativity from Sam there. Rob, what was your sort of positive, negative?
I thought for the first 20 minutes, it kind of summed up this game. And we talked about oomph a few weeks ago. And they had all the oomph. And even though it was close in that first 20 minutes, I can't remember if they scored or not, but it just had the feeling that every time they got the ball, they had a big bopper running onto the ball, as Matt Newsom pointed out on the What Brian Bevan podcast, they were on the front foot all the time. And we did, there was times when we went forward. Again, I thought Toby King is our best prop, and we made a few yards. But there was a lot of times when we were just getting picked up and driven back as well. And again, post-contact meters average game went back the other way, 3.21 to 2.94. We'll have a listen to Sam Burgess in a second, but he clearly must realise his pack's too soft. I can't believe he's put his head in the sand and he thinks that we're just losing because we're sort of, you know, we're just not quite clicking. You can't win rugby league games with that pack. And it will just go on and on and on. And there are individuals in that pack that would look great. I mean, you put Curry in a good pack, he'd be great. You have Sipley coming off the bench as your fourth prop. Fantastic. But you're starting two props. Thomas has made 27 metres. Byrne has made 45. There's just no go forward. Who's their number 13? He's a monster. Who's that guy they've signed? Comes onto the ball, so in that first 20 minutes, you could basically just go away and say, until you sort your pack out, boys, you ain't got a chance. And it tarnishes the backs. There's a lot of opportunities in those backs, but they're a beaten pack. And they only beat Hulk AR was because Hulk AR had fallen out with themselves. Hulk AR turned up and didn't do what they normally do. And all of a sudden, our pack gets on the front foot, and all of a sudden we have that expansion. Ashton runs in two tries. All that disappeared when you've been dominated by a pack.
So that was 2% positivity, 98% negativity. Sam, retort.
Well, that's why I say the only way our pack can win, and I think they can win games. I doubt they can win several in a row, big games. But the only way they can win games is to be clean, be precise, not give errors, and eventually wear the opposition down through fitness. They're not going to do it through size and oomph.
But they can't keep hold of the ball. At one point, I think it was, and he wasn't a forward, but Hapawati took his eye off the ball. He could see he was about to get smashed and he dropped a ball. It's intimidation as well. One of the reasons you keep dropping the ball as forwards is because it's physical out there. It's rough and tumble out there in the middle. So you can try and be as squeaky clean as you like, but when you've got 18 stone props coming at you 100 miles an hour, it's difficult. So, yeah. Okay, Dennis, I'll just get the stopwatch ready. Your conclusion.
Well, I think that, you know, following on from the week before where everybody performed and actually did really well, I thought we saw a continuation of that. And I think what it shows
currently
is that
100% positivity.
Is key, you know, is really capable of actually beating anybody on the day. I think, they all showed
positivity.
Up and they all managed to absolutely sort of play to their best.
98%.
That after that, what else did I have down there?
80%.
Oh, shit.
70%.
I think...
60%.
So that I can't really. I think. I mean, you know, there were some signs somewhere. I think
65%.
It did drop a bit when Leanne Hayes started.
30%.
Yeah, I have to say, Leanne Hayes putting out, you know, his speculative.
10%. 10%. Warning. 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 5%.
No, I haven't got nothing else.
Excellent. Good. Well, let's have a listen to Sam Burgess post-match.
Sam, as ever, thank you very much for your time. Absolutely no doubting the attitude of your team today. I mean, plenty of effort in there, but what frustrated you today?
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those games. I thought the scoreline probably didn't reflect the game or how tight the game was. You know, they start fast and they put some points on us early. Didn't feel we should have been 12 down, but we were. And then we wrestled our way back into the game. It's frustration is probably not the word. In that second half, I thought we started with, great spirit. We just couldn't get any points. And then after the sin bin in, I think we conceded 5 penalties and completed 56% in the second half. So it's always going to be pretty tricky.
Would you put that down to indiscipline, or did you feel that the rub of the green was against you today?
Oh, no, you know... no comment on those things. I feel about all of that, but you know, it's just the way it goes. Momentum changes, and it just didn't go our way. We didn't handle it very well, and then we're chasing a scoreboard and 56% completion. Yeah, it's too hard. But look, I'm very proud of my team. We had plenty of effort. Just we got a bit to tidy up, but we're sore after today, I think.
Yeah, it's a roller coaster, as you well know. It's a roller coaster this time of the year. You go again last week. You had a great win. Next week, how do you feel you are positioned mentally and physically for the next 7 weeks now?
Yeah, good. We're looking forward to the run home.
Well, we wish you all the best.
Thanks,
Sam,
Dave.
Thank you as ever. Thanks for your time. Cheers.
Right. Well, there we have it. On his irritable scale, he wasn't off the scale this week. He's toned it down a little bit. But he's also been on the Warrington Guardian, where he's been asked by Mike Parsnips how he thinks his coaching is going.
Oh,
and he's replied with, basically, I'm not here to talk about me, and I'm just here to facilitate the team, which I thought was quite interesting. I ran that past Mrs. London, and she said he sounds like Mike off the Dumping Ground. I don't know if you've ever watched the Dumping Ground, but Mike's the main carer who looks after the kids at the Dumping Ground. So I chat-GPT'd whether Mike was just there to facilitate on the Dumping Ground. Right. And no, apparently he wasn't. He was also there to coach. So he was there as a safe adult. He disciplined the children. But he was also a coach. He challenged the children to come up with their own choices rather than simply solving their problems. And he was also a moral compass. So,
Oh, dear. Yeah, struggling on that point.
That could be trouble.
Dumping. Oh, I'll turn the music on now. Sorry, turn that off.
Oh, God.
So I'm thinking possibly. Now, Tracy Beaker was on the Dumping Ground, and she went on to become a carer. So I want to throw her name in the hat, possibly as the replacement for Sam Burgess. Tracy Beaker as coach. So
It does look like that they'd probably be giving Sam Burgess another year, doesn't it? You know, on the back of this season. How does that make you feel?
Well, they'll be lucky to keep hold of him because he's been inundated with offers.
Will he be applying for the Saints job? I'd be interested in that.
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
But look, let's look into this. Why did we lose against Lee? I think we've said before that Sam Burgess can get a team up to play a good game, a one-off. So I think
he's a fluffer.
You've got to accept.
You're saying he's a fluffer?
Yeah, he probably is. He's a fluffer. He probably gets them all going and they all want to play for him, which is great. But tactically and recognising the recruitment strategy of his other fella, one of your favourites, Chambers, I don't think they've got that bit right and they can't do it. So all very well that he can get a team up, but we've got to accept then when you look at the how many games we'll win, chances are we're going to win one, lose one. We're just going to be an average side, aren't we, in terms of picking up points.
I did receive an email this week, and reading between the lines, I think possibly we might be putting the bloke in the warehouse in charge of recruitment. His name was mentioned, so I have mentioned it to him. He's very excited.
Good.
He's come off his probation as well next week, so it looks like it'll fit perfectly. So,
think he'll get a visa? Or is he just going to do it from the warehouse whilst watching TV?
He should. He just won't be able to get a visa for Vegas. He might have to go down to the US.
Oh,
we haven't heard that before. Anyway, moving on just for a second. Of course, one of our keen listeners is Lee in Dubai. Now, Lee is currently back in the UK visiting family. So he sent us this soundbite. Not Lee in Dubai, but Lee in Lee.
I tried to send you a soundbite last night, mate, but it ended up being about the length of one of your podcasts. So I ended up deleting it. I wouldn't know where to start, to be honest. They were very, very poor from pretty much start to finish. Defence is poor. They can't attack because they're too small to create any speed of the ruck, which means the backs haven't got much to work with, but then the backs are also poor. Smith and Hopewarte have just stopped defending. Leon Hayes is just pointless. Tackles well for his size, but that's not really meant to be his main attribute. I don't know how the powers that be can sit up there in their box and watch that and think, yeah, Burgess should get a new contract. But they were just better than us in every aspect of the game, better coached. They've recruited better. They've got better players than us. There's no one on the pitch that takes control of the game. There's no game management. Every big moment, every situation that could be a big moment in the game, we lose. Just brain-dead decision-making. For a prime example, when Charnley got sin-binned, which I didn't even think was a sin-bin, so the ref tried his best to give us a leg up. I mean, he is horrendous, that ref as well. Absolutely horrendous, but not like just for us, he was horrendous for both teams. Like, he doesn't even interpret the rules properly. But yeah, Charlie gets sin-binned and we're only 10 behind. And you think, oh, if we can get a try during these next 10 minutes, we're back in the game. But the next two that play the balls, we went the wrong way. Instead of attacking the wing where Charlie's been sin-binned, which you would think is pretty basic rugby league, we attacked the other wing, then ran out of ideas and threw a terrible pass that then led to a knock-on. Instead of making the most of that moment and someone, a Morley or a Monaghan or a Lee Breers or someone actually taking control of the situation, it just looked like they've not trained or not practiced anything. Surely you would have some sort of strategy for when the opposition go down to 12. You'd think, oh, we know what to do in this scenario because we've practiced it. But clearly not being coached. Just looks like a bunch of individuals running around the pitch, really. No one actually taking any ownership of the game. So if Burgess is going to get a new contract, then just accepting mediocrity, aren't we? I thought their match day experience is quite good. They're what we used to be, I think, creating a hostile environment for the bigger teams to come and play in. But it's mind-blowing with the amount of money that we've thrown at the club in the last however many, 10, 20 years, that teams like Lee and Hull KR, who've like been down in the division below, come back up. But not only come back up and are now better than us and better ran than us. That now ticks off 4 years since I last saw Warrington win. I mean, I only go to one or two games a year when I'm back, but yeah. 4 years without seeing them win a game live, which is a bit depressing. So I was debating going to Castleford next week, so I'm still here, but I probably won't, based on the fact that if they can't be asked to coach the team during the week, I can't be asked to spend my money and drive around watching them.
Well, there's a guy who coaches at the top level in Dubai. All the famous players from lots of the football clubs go out and basically Lee facilitates their coaching.
Can we just check in if Lee's all right after that soundbite? Because he sounded very,
He sounded depressed, didn't he?
Yeah. Is he enjoying his holiday?
I thought it was a very, very good soundbite. I thought I think we can just put that on loop until we win the championship. I thought that we could just, don't they just play, what do they, when we have a nuclear holocaust, don't they just play the national anthem on Radio 4 or something? Or Trident doesn't nuke back until that goes off air. That's apparently what they listen to. We could just put Lee on loop until we win the, once we've won it, Lee will go off loop.
Jesus. Oh, God. You know, one question. What would your one question be to ask Sam Burgess? Mine this week after the league game would have been, oh, Sam, could you tell us what your team talk was at halftime? You were 16-6 and it just got worse. What happened? You know, something like that. I think that's what I'd want to know. You're not buying it? No.
No, I think that's a very good idea. Well, I think we need to get you back in the press box, Danny. Can you write to the RFL again, see if you can get another press box?
No, Sam can go. He's closest.
I won't ask the heart-hitting questions, will I?
Right, so I think that's it, isn't it, on that one? So we went, so the click, we're not clicked anymore. We've clunked.
No. The click's now with some village cricketer who's clicking. Like as the ball's passing the bat and getting cheated and getting some
euphemism or something
wickets.
Was going on about that. Right. Results round 20. All 20. All KR 34. Wakefield 52. Castleford 14. Wigan 38. St Helens 16. York were just pipped at home by Huddersfield 22-24. As two were to lose, they lost their derby 16-18 to Catalans, and Leeds had no problem with Bradford 42-12. But their winger broke his arm, right? Is that what I'm reading?
They did, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Sivo.
Okay. You'd have thought, you know, like on Escape to Victory, if they'd had the opportunity in the dressing room at half time to say, one of our wingers has to break our arm, the other one would have to, Ryan Hall would have had to step forward, wouldn't he? They've had to put it between
Jimmy's foot.
Put it between the boards.
He went out a week ago, volunteering his ankle.
Oh,
yeah. any surprises in this table?
Well, no. I'm just thinking in that in the Escape to the Victory, don't they escape through the massive bath in the middle of the room at half? Like they dig. They're going to go through the bath, aren't they, at half time?
Yeah, but they go back out to play the game,
They want to. Well, they've had a great team talk. Yeah. Who's
Sylvester Stallone? Sylvester Stallone, the best goalkeeper in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you what, his positioning was better than Pickford for that first goal against Argentina. Allied Pickford's could have been positioned better. Did you watch the exit of the World Cup, Dennis? Were you on the edge of your seat?
Did I fuck?
Sounded like Muttley then. Right. Okay. Onto the table. I've got a new table, boys. Have you seen my new table now?
What's changed?
I've linked it to the BBC website and it updates it on my word sheet through AI. I don't even have to touch it. I've got AI agent.
Oh.
I mean, practically this script is writing itself now. So as the result finishes, it updates on my Word PowerPoint. Isn't that good?
Yeah. Wow.
So top of the table is Hull. Second, a Huddies. Oh, it's not worked. I mean, don't go back to my old one. Top of the table's Leeds. Yeah. Wakefield in second.
Yes, they're looking very impressive at the minute.
Wigan, Warrington, Lee, Hull KR, St Helens. They're the top seven. And we have a drop-off to Catalans in eighth, Toulouse, Castleford, York, Bradford, Hull, Huddersfield. Our mastermind game sees Sam with just one in the correct position. Dennis has lost a couple. He's down to just two in the correct position. Our combined total is three, as two is mine. I'm also on three now. I've gone out in front. Mm.
Which ones have you got in the right position now?
No idea. Can't remember.
Okay.
But there's a few. I've not got Leeds. I think that you've got Leeds.
Yeah.
And I think we've both got, I'm not sure what, we've both got Castleford, I think. Castleford's the other one.
Dennis did pick Leeds. Yeah.
There we go. So, I mean, starting to take shape. It's, we're not plummeting.
No, but it's close now, isn't it?
Well, you think Lee are in better form than us, right? Lee, it's just, but it comes down, I guess, to games, right? Sam's talked to us about the games and we do have a nice easier run of games that we should be winning.
Playing OKR again, though, aren't we? That's the that's the one.
As you say, an easier run of games.
Anyone from that bottom eight coming up, Sam? Like Catalans?
No.
No. So it's so the top six is between the top seven, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And Saints are struggling.
Don't think Huddersfield will make a come home with a wet sail.
Lee play Wigan this weekend.
Oh, right.
Big game, isn't it?
Are we at the point now where we want a certain team to win? Is it getting that way? We're sort of mathematically having to... Would it be better if Wigan beat Lee? We're not going to catch Wigan. Are we best now going for fourth? We're not going to any higher than fourth, right? Fourth is where we're going to...
No, I don't think so, yeah. Right. I don't think so. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't see us being better than fourth.
Yeah. What does it mean if you finish fourth in the playoffs? What does that give you?
Can you give us that? That really hurts my brain.
Is this your HIA test?
Third play sixth, fourth play fifth, right. And teams one and two have a week off.
Right, fourth, but so we play Lee at the moment.
Oh, we'd okay. We'd be at home to Lee at the minute, right. And Wigan would be at home to Old KR. And the winners of those two games play Leeds and Wakefield in the semi-finals.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
Super League attendances continue to tell a positive story, with seven clubs now averaging five-figure crowds. Leeds lead the way with an average gate of more than 15,000, followed by Wigan and Hull. Warrington sit fifth on 11,804. Hull KR and Lee are also pulling in crowds of more than 10,000, while only Huddersfield fall below the 5,000 mark. Overall, Super League is averaging 8,700 spectators per match, suggesting interest in the competition remains strong despite the captain's challenge, video ref delays, and the six again rule. Right? Is this because of the sunshine, possibly, boys? There's a bit of warm weather getting people out. Has that made it? Has climate change made a difference to rugby league in a positive
way? Actually, made it summer rugby league.
Yeah, I think so. Is there anything different, Sam, when you go to the match? Does it feel jollier? Is the beer making a difference that you're drinking?
Pizza twists.
The pizza twists
are excellent. I mean, I did say early, this. I don't think this gets more people through the door
pizza
necessarily.
Twists.
I don't think that brings more people through the door. But I did say early in the season that it was very noticeable how the ground and the concourse underneath had been dressed differently. There was there was better food options. There was smaller queues at kiosks. So I don't necessarily think they make people go, but once you're there, it's a more pleasant environment. Yeah.
They don't make you go. Feels like a prison cell with all the grey walls. I mean,
you're going for the rugby. These are the add-ons.
Yes.
Does a smaller pack and a coach who only facilitates, does that increase crowds?
Well, in the long run, that will decrease crowds, won't it?
So it sounds as like there's more. Is there more? There's more bars underneath now, are there? And more things to. I'm just thinking for Lee Breers for new hiding places when he comes back.
Then floodlights will give him a chance to get away, won't they? When they go off, like, you know, so he runs off into the crowd. I mean, did the floodlights make a difference, Sam? I mean, we're not scoring as many tries, maybe, so they don't have a chance to use them.
It doesn't go dark until 10 o'clock at night, they don't make any difference.
Yeah, that's a problem. It's bad investment. Is that what you're saying? Summer rugby, floodlights. Yeah. Fireworks is the way forward, Rob.
Max Wood has gone out on a month's loan again, returning to Hull FC for a second spell. The deal includes a recall option, with the 22-year-old having made just seven appearances for Wyatt this season. Now, Dennis did watch a bit of rugby
league because he
watched the Hull game, because he sent a little WhatsApp message through and he said, Matt Wood, lazy.
Yes. Matt yeah. Wood is lazy.
Max Wood. Yeah. Who did I say? Matt Wood.
Matt Wood. Yeah. I just think when you see that in and around the ruck, when like play's going on, he's slow to get back. He's just this, that, and the other. As I sent that text, he was the only one chasing down a try from the opposition. But in general, he just seems a bit lackadaisy. I don't know if he's unfit or what, but maybe that's what he's
36 tackles and just two misses in that game he had. Yeah. But only five carries.
Is that from the
RFL
stats? Is that from the Super League website?
That's from the Super League.
So he probably also kicked 27 40 20s, according to them, did he, or something like that? It's just absolutely awful. Ollie Leyland has left Warrington with immediate effect after agreeing an early release from his contract to join Huddersfield Giants on trial. The 25-year-old scrum half joined Wyre from the London Broncos ahead of the 2025 season, but has found first-team opportunities limited, making only a handful of appearances. He also had that ACL injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, he's not going to get his season going, is he, with us, because we've got all these other players in front of him now. So,
it's depressing, isn't it? Ralph's very confident. They haven't got a stadium for next year in Huddersfield. They've exhausted all options. Crowds are down. And their performances on the field have fallen off.
And Ed Davies pulled out.
But he's positive on all three, apparently.
Say apparently that? Moving to Cumbria might be an option.
Oh, the Cumbria Otters. The Cumbria Otters. I've been saying that for a long time. Did you know the otters come only second to turtles in terms of clicks on social media? So the best thing you can put on any kind of advertising is a turtle. And number two is an otter.
Otter ballocks. Well, it does sound good, doesn't it, Sam?
Yeah. Most harrowing film I ever watched was Tarka the Otter. Oh, my God.
What are you obsessed with otters for? What's up with you? Give nightmares. Another thing to give you anxiety.
Oh,
Jesus.
God.
Right, there's no such thing as Cumbria otters. Can we go on to the next
Cumbria,
piece, please?
Not Cumbern otters. Matt Newsome, you're sure.
Matt Newsome.
Staying with halfbacks, Salford have re-signed Mark Sneed for next season. The 35-year-old returns for his third spell at the Red Devils, having arrived at Wyre in March 2025 on an 18-month contract. Are you a real Sneed hater, Sam? It used to be that poor guy from PNG, who I can't remember his name, but you've now moved on to Sneed this year. So with Sneed going, who are you going to hate next season? Where do you think?
That's the point into it. Well, first of all, I think hate is a very strong word. I mean,
in the green room, Jesus.
Yes.
If we re-sign Bentley, God help him.
Oh,
I see. Right, okay. He's my favourite player.
Yeah.
Right, he is.
Oh, dear. And finally, former prop and boxer George Burgess will spend time in the Warrington camp over the next few months as he prepares for an acting role. George will be in and around the Halliwell Jones with older brother Sam during the Super League run-in.
I hear your brother George has been hanging around the Halliwell Jones.
Yes, Ralphie. He's preparing for an acting role in a Shakespearean production.
Oh, tackle sacks. I mean, what on earth could it be? A Shakespeare wrote six kind of plays, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, with your grasp of English literature and the English language in general. Do you know which one of the six it could be, Sammy?
Well, it could be one of his great tragedies.
It certainly could be, Samuel. I mean, has he been studying your tragic post-match interviews?
Or it could be one of the great bard's fantasies.
Fantasy? It's not Professor Broomhead wearing tights, is it? Or is it the one where Warrington finally wins Super League?
Or perhaps it's one of his romances, Ralphie.
Oh, yes. And I definitely have Gina Brukes as probably being cast as Juliet. Although with the number of admirers she attracts, Samuel, I should probably need a balcony the size of the South Stand.
It might even be, Ralphie, one of Shakespeare's comedies.
I thought Gary Chambers had already written his recruitment strategy.
Well, it could be Macbeth, Shakespeare's dark tragedy. A once great warrior whose ambition ultimately destroys him.
Sorry, Samuel. I was not talking about Shakespeare's Macbeth. You know, the one where three witches lure a Scottish nobleman to believe he'll become king. And so he murders Duncan in his sleep, is driven mad by guilt and starts seeing ghosts, orders the slaughter of Macduff's wife and children, watches Lady Macbeth descend into madness as she tries to wash imaginary blood from her hands before taking her own life. All this culminating in Macbeth himself being beheaded, or is it just Geordie Crowther trying to perform a tackle bus? Thank you very much. You can catch me at the Lawrence Batley Theatre in Huddersfield. I'm starring in the lead pantomime role of Giants Unleashed. Sorry, Samuel, you were saying?
I guess there's only one other type of play, Ralph, and that's one of the Brummies' historical plays.
Oh, yes. Another annual reminder of what Warrington nearly won.
I tell thee what though, Ralphie. The strange thing is, Brother George, he won't tell me what the play's going to be.
Oh, rag and bone my ass. I've been watching him all week, Sammy, trying to work it out. Yesterday, he was carrying a skull.
Hamlet?
Oh, no thanks, Sammy. I've stopped smoking those mild-mannered cigars. These days, I'm on 24-carat Afghan Black Industrial Strength Skunk.
Apparently, my brother spends most of the play thrusting his enormous weapon at another man.
Oh, Samuel, you dirty old man.
No, Ralpho, it's King Lear. They're fencing. There's quite a bit of sword fighting in it.
Oh, my apologies, Samuel. Perhaps afterwards you could get George to nip into the training and explain the concept of parrying. It might stop our right edge defence getting sliced open every weekend.
Hey, look, Walpho, do you think it could be Julius Caesar?
Ah, yes, stabbed in the back by the very people he trusted. You know, just like Darrell Powell and our chairman.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Anyway, thankfully, Ralphie, he's finally announced what Shakespeare play he's performing.
Oh, go on then, Samuel. I'll put me out of my misery.
Much ado about nothing.
Oh, polish me brass knobs. Although, come to think of it, Samuel, that's very befitting.
Why's that, Ralpho?
Well, you know, because that's exactly what every Warrington supporter has been doing every September for the last 70 years. could I speak to the scriptwriters, please? Technically, it's not every September. We were once a winter game. I wouldn't want to have some kind of mess up in the lines and create a clusterfuck in my post-acting performance.
Oh,
Thank you. Sammy's now clapping because Zoom will take that out. It probably won't come out.
Oh, will it?
Yeah.
There
yeah.
we go.
So just say,
can you play some applause? Yeah. Standing yes. ovation. About 45 seconds would be long enough.
It's good, wasn't it? I think that's our BAFTA winning episode. I really do.
I think so. See what happens when you don't just spend the episode trying to weave C-U-N-T into a line somewhere.
Oh. Well, the reason for the coming of this sort of episode, Sam, was because Rob was getting worried that if we did the Brighton one before you went on holiday, you might not have a good time.
We have recorded Brighton Pride, so you were lucky that George turned up in Combe. So that has been put on hold until you return from your holiday.
Excellent. Something to look forward to or not.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Nettlebag.
I tell you, Wilson, they're a nation of automatons, led by a lunatic who looks like Charlie Chaplin.
How dare you compare our glorious leader with that non-Aryan clown?
Oh, look,
I am making notes, Captain. And your name will go on the list. And when we win the war, you will be brought to account.
You're right, what you like. You're not going to win this war.
Oh, yes, we are.
Oh, no, you're not.
Oh, yes, we are. Whistle while you work. Hitler is at work. He's half army, so's his army. Whistle while you... Your name will also go on the list. What is it?
Don't tell him, Pike.
Pike.
Thank you, Pike. Just have to put my glasses on. Welcome back to Tackle Gags, the section where Rugby League once again proves that the only more predictable than a drop ball is a club apology on a Monday morning. Well, that'll be for later. And I'll start with the biggest celebrity sighting of the week, as we've already mentioned. Bit of a theme this week. George Burgess spotted at the Warrington match. I didn't know it was George Burgess. I thought it was just a big fat chap watching the match. But I haven't seen him for a while. Now, depending on which rumour you believe, he's either filming in town or a major movie in and around us, or he's simply found a place in Cheshire where the pubs stay open long enough to catch up with your brother and jump on a podium. But Burgess, I didn't know, has been in a few films. I didn't realise this. He's been in four films, I found. Land of Bad, never watched it. Anyone seen it?
No. I think it went straight to Betamax.
Spartacus, House of Usher. I like the original Spartacus, don't know about you. Beast, don't know if he's playing himself, no idea. And The Weight, there you go, he is definitely playing himself.
Clearly.
In that one.
Yeah.
So while Burgess Brothers remain tight-lipped, we've managed to obtain a leaked list of the possible films George might be starring in.
Yes, well done, Dennis.
Yeah, here we go. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Warrington Director's Cut. Thought that was quite good. Gone in 80 Minutes, Warrington's title challenge chances. They've disappeared. The Great Escape from the Defensive Right Edge. The Magnificent Seven Missed Tackles. Not really. No Country for Old Props.
Did you say country?
Yes. Oh, no. No, it's spelt differently. It's X-rated. Honey, I Shrunk the Salary Cap. Mission Impossible 9 Post Contact Meters. Thought you'd like that, Rob. And basically the favourite one, The Usual Suspects, because Warrington lose, the excuses will still look remarkably familiar. Right, this week's main event. To keep these glasses on, it really does make me feel like I'm seasick.
Like Robin Day.
Welcome to this week's main event.
Did he speak like that? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think you nailed it towards the end then.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you do the whole section as Robin Day?
No, I couldn't because I'm in struggle reading anyway. What is it that these rugby leagues issue in apology statements? I don't know if you've noticed this, but Huddersfield Giants have apologised to the fans. We had Ralph Rimmer earlier on in the season with his unleashed statements. Castleford Tigers have apologised. Ryan Carr had to take to social media to apologise to the fans. Hull FC have apologised, although Richie Myler's still there. We would have ended in a second. And St. Helens, Eamon McManus has apologised yesterday as well. So Monday's Blue Monday, it seems to be the apologies. Now, at this rate, Monday mornings in Super League, more like couples counselling sessions. But having a look at what these sort of statements say, these apology statements, it's almost Rugby League's version of Control C, Control V. That's a copy and paste, Sam. The apology formula is to thank supporters, admit disappointment, explain why things are bad, stress it isn't long-term, mention work behind the scenes and promise a brighter future, then thank the supporters again. When I actually looked at the reasons, historic problems were Hull, rebuild with Hull and Huddersfield. Mm. Culture and values were Hull and Huddersfield. You can tell Ralph's in that one. The main themes, passion of supporters and better future promised is what the clubs are all about. Yeah. All the bollocks that they usually
about
come
youth.
Out with.
Youth.
Yeah, none of them in there. Stay with us. Message was always in there as well by each of them. Okay. The buzzwords, the apology bingo, seemed to fall on patience was the most sort of expressed term out of all those. Loyalty. Interesting that Cass and Saints didn't mention anything about culture or transformation. So that was interesting.
And it's about working hard to put it right. And things like that.
You can tell where I'm going with this, can't you? Because what this got me thinking is if Warrington don't make the playoffs this year, what would Cal Fitzpatrick say? So, you know, he's bound to say, oh, we've all had an honest conversation and no one's more disappointed than me. Well, luckily, I've got our very own Carl Fitzpatrick, What Bevan Apology Generator, come up with a few apologies. Now, we all know that Carl speaks in riddles and sort of gives us all the fluff. So we probably need to just look at what it actually means. So we've put him in the What Bevan Apology Generator. These are the things Carl says. Firstly, we'd like to thank our loyal supporters for their unwavering backing throughout a challenging season. Mm. What that actually means is a fan's translation, please don't cancel your season ticket. Carl says, nobody is hurting more than we are. Translation, apart from everyone who's paid £35 or whatever it is to watch. How much is it to get in and watch this shit? So, well, you know when we watch a shit match, Sam? How much is it nowadays?
I don't know
because
of the season ticket.
Oh, yeah. Carl says, we're continuing to build something sustainable. Translation, we're not changing much. That's what that means. Carl says, success isn't built overnight. See you in 2028. That's what that means. Carl says, the foundations are stronger than they've ever been. Translation, the defence is leaking. Still. Carl says, we've got complete confidence in direction we're travelling. Translation, we've no idea where the sat-nav's taking us. And it's definitely not going up, is it? Carl says, we'll conduct a thorough review. Translation, meeting on Tuesday. Carl says, recruitment is an ongoing process. Translation, we've got a fag packet. And basically, Carl says, the supporters deserve better. Translation, agreed.
Predictions.
We can predict the future or resist the inevitable urge to try.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
Predict Warrington, but
can I do it with a caveat, please?
Two hopefully winnable games to predict before the pod returns. First up, it's Castleford away on Saturday, kickoff 3 p.m. Then the following Saturday, Wire travel again to Yorkshire to take on Bradford. The match also gets underway at 3 o'clock. Now, there's been a bit of money fluttered away since we were last here. I lost £245 in the Hull KR game. However, I had £600 on Lee and I won £320. So, since we last met, I've gone up £70. I'm now on £1,026. Dennis has lost £17.20.
Oh.
He's now in the red. He's on £93.33. But Sam is still bottom. Sam losing another £1.87. He's on £93.09. Right. Okay. Well, to save time, whoever you pick for your first try scorer has to be for both games. All right. I'll have that as red. So Castleford. Now they beat. I didn't realise they've beaten Leeds. Sam, was that wasn't last week though, was it? They've since lost.
No, it was the week before. They since got stuffed by Wakefield.
At Wakefield.
Yes.
Are they a bit of a homer team now? Is that where we're going with?
Well,
this?
In the last five games, they've won against Saints, Leeds, and Toulouse, but they've lost against York and Lee.
Right, a bit up and down
at home.
Okay,
up and down.
So you're obviously backing us to win this, right? I mean, we absolutely obliterated them on post contact meters when they came to Warrington.
We've got a 10-point head start. They've got a 10-point head start on the handicap betting.
So we're going for a Wire win.
Yes.
How much are you going to whop on that? This could be your chance to get your money back, Sam. You're that positive. Go on, have 50 quid on it. Go on.
No, it's going on the following game, the big money. So I'm just going to go fiver Warrington.
Fiver on Warrington.
And a fiver Ewan Irwin.
Irwin, that's a good bet, actually. He's about 33-1, Irwin. They might not have seen that sidestep he does. Okay.
How could he be 33-1?
Because he only scores first once every 33 games.
Oh, fair enough.
Do you need to do Bradford one as well now?
Yeah, we'll do Bradford. Yeah, go on, give us Bradford as well. Why not? Yeah, go on.
Okay, so the Bradford one, I'm going...
Is this an easier game?
I think it is, and right. I'm going £75 Warrington.
Ooh, yeah.
And £5 Ewan. £5 Ewan Irwin.
We've already said that. Yeah. Irwin's the same.
All right.
Same on both.
Sorry, I didn't know. The money, £5.
Yeah. I didn't make that clear.
So you're going £75 Bradford away.
He's got to, hasn't he? He's got to. He's
and if I lose both, I end up with £3.09 for the following week.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Now, are you as confident as Sam, Dennis, at winning at Castleford? Do you think, I mean, is this, you know, it's normally Wakefield away where it all goes tits up for us, but is it going to be 10 miles down the road this time? Is that where it's happening?
I've got a funny feeling. I see it a different way. Is it away at Castleford?
Yes, away at Castleford. Both away.
I see us. I still think that, you know, we look where we are in the table. We're still a good side. We're playing a bottom side. So I think Bradford are the danger side. From what I've seen, Bradford look a lot better. Cal Haggerty is probably, you know, being touted for the St. Helens job. You can see why.
Is he related to Roy Haggerty?
Might be his brother or something. Yeah. I don't know. So I'm going to have £5 on Byrne. I'm bringing Byrne back in.
Yep.
It looks like I've destroyed Thomas. So bring Byrne back and £5 on Castleford. So I'm going to bet against
Wire.
You're going
Cass, right? You're going Cass five.
Only for the odds. But okay. I do believe that Warrington will win that.
Will win.
And, and I'm going to do the same for Bradford because I think we'll be favourites.
Bradford
but
again.
I don't know if we'll beat Bradford. I like what I see with Bradford. They've got a few players out, but even so.
Okay. All right. Well, I think there's one of these two games we're going to not necessarily trip up, but we'll make life difficult for ourselves. We're not good enough to play 160 minutes without not making life difficult for ourselves. It just depends which game it's going to be. I think it will be the Castleford game. But I do think Wire will win. So I'll have, I'm going to have a pound on Warrington. And I'll have, it's a narrow pitch, isn't it? So maybe a centre will go in. So I'll have 20 quid on King in both games. I don't think we'll have a problem.
Both short pitches, actually. Both Bradford and Castleford are short pitches.
Bradford's narrow, Castleford's short.
Bradford's short as well.
Is it?
I promise you. Yeah.
Huh. Put those two together and you'd be like playing on a postage stamp, which would be Post Office Road at Featherstone.
Oh, very clever. Yes, very good.
I'll go a pound against Bradford as well. I think we'll win that one. Obviously, I'll have King again with 20 quid. So, yeah, I think we'll come back in a couple of weeks after Mr. Sankey heads to Paris to buy his chateau. But I do think we're going to struggle in one of these two games, which it will be. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, you're a big fan, are you? I mean, you know, you were saying that we're never going to win another game earlier on. So,
did I?
Do you think? Yeah, you sort of alluded to that. Are you talking about the top sides when you talk about that, or are you talking about these bottom sides? You know, these are the sides that you can easily beat.
What you want to do is put
800 quid on Warrington to beat Bradford. No. Why don't you do that?
No. I'm putting a pound. I'm not losing any money this week, these next 2 weeks. I'm just battening down the hatches. Okay, that's it. We'll be back in a couple of weeks after Mr. Sankey's holiday in France. So until then, it's a joy in the non-EU resident Q goodbye from me. A duty-free so long from Sam.
All the best.
And do I have anything to declare from Dennis?
Good seeing you.
You've been listening to what? Brian Bevansay.
Do we need to start a campaign to get Matt Newsom over to Australia? Is that what we're doing on the next episode?
I'll put a fiver in.
Put me down for a pound.
I've got £3.09 left.
Oh, fuck's sake. Goodies, we're coming for you. Goodies, goody, goody, yum, yum. Here we come into town, getting up for the dough.